Well, welcome to another episode of the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. I'm Colin Byers, and with me as ever is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along.
Thank you very much.
Right, this week we'll be looking at Saturday's loss to league leaders Falkirk. We'll preview this weekend's home game with East Fife, and we'll also hear from manager Jim McAnally. So Martin, that's another week bye week, closer to Christmas. Are we feeling festive yet?
The Christmas presents have been ordered online, so hopefully they'll be arriving before Christmas, and then everything will feel festive.
Oh, it's ordered online, eh? The joys yes. of Miss Newton, the Christmas shopping this year, eh?
Yes, absolutely.
It's the safest way to do it, I guess, eh?
Exactly, we're all in the COVID stages, so yeah, it's the best ways to do online shopping and stay at home.
It's the most unsociable wedding and things, but I guess that's kind of right up your street, is it?
Absolutely, yes.
Right, and let's crack on then. So Falkirk on Saturday, another visit to the Falkirk Stadium, another loss. However, given that the last two results ended in, I think, a 7-0 aggregate over the two games, this one was only 2-1. So is that a sign of a progression on Peterhead's side, or was it a case that maybe Falkirk didn't play to their levels?
I think it's a bit of progression from Peterhead. I think based on last week's performance as well, and the disappointing result against Forfar, I think it was... You're not happy to get beat, but I think, as you said in previous times, we've gone down there and lost 3-4-0. So I think 2-1, and we even had a chance maybe to nick it at the end as well and come up the road with a point. I certainly think it was a better performance than the week before. So, yeah, it was encouraging.
Obviously, a bit of a blow late on Friday night. Ben Armour, his injury call-off kind of changed things, I guess, slightly for Jim. He probably would have started with him, so it just his plans for the start of the game certainly would have been thrown up in the air.
Yeah, we've complimented before in recent weeks about Ben's hold-up play and how it allows other players into the game. I think when you lose that, plus his goals and his threat up front, it would have been a big loss, especially so late, as you said, in the Friday evening to be told that he wasn't going to be playing. Yeah, it probably would have changed Jim's plans, I would have thought.
And no kind of offence to Stephen Boyd, but he's playing up front on his own, isn't it, tailored to his game. I often think if he's going to play up front, he has to play off of somebody, because quite often on the game on Saturday he was so far away from everybody else, and then when he did get the ball, he wasn't able to hold it up because again that's not his style of play, that's not in his locker really.
No, we spoke also before. Yeah, we go quite direct quite a lot. And I think it's trying to go to Ben's strengths at the moment. We've certainly noticed he's bulked out. And Stephen's not that sort of player. He's not going to hold the ball up and bring others into play. He's more of the link-up, as you said, with another man up top. So it was always going to be a difficult afternoon for him. And that proved the case. And, you know, the case was he did struggle. But that was because of the gap between the midfield and the striker.
Gary McKenzie started in a... I rejigged back four. I think when we got the team lineup, we were kind of thinking, well, is it a back three? Is it a back four? Is it a five? It ended up being a four with Bailey, McKenzie, Jason Brown, and Freeman playing at left back this time round. Conroy was shifted to midfield. What was your kind of take on those changes?
Interesting, because I don't think it was the time to go about tinkering with the back line away to Falkirk. I think it could have been better used at another game. However, we did think that, you know, defensively we have been poor, so you maybe felt like it was the right time to change it because it was a game that no one was expecting us to get anything out of. Freeman played in every part along the back line now. He's a very versatile player, but I think he's better used at centre-back than he would be left-back. And I can sort of see his thinking with the personnel that Jim had available to him, why he's made that changes.
Yeah, as the game kind of progressed, certainly the first part of the first half, You'd expect Falkirk to have much of the possession, and they did. Josh Ray was called into action to make, shall we say, comfortable saves early on. But Gary McKenzie had a header, a chance with a header, I should say, from a corner. It's one of those, you look back at that again, I think he really should have done better with it.
It's ironic because I criticised the set pieces last week, and then one of the highlights that we've seen on Saturday in the packages was Gary McKenzie. It was a good ball in. He's found himself in a couple of yards of space, and it's fallen to me, to the right man. He's the biggest man in the park, and he's just mistimed that header. I just wonder whether if he maybe another game under his belt, if he'd have been match, you know, match sharpness would have come into play there, and just the awareness. And he's put it over the bar, and it, you know, maybe at that stage of the game, if I had taken that chance, it makes it a different game. All hypothetical, of course. But yeah, as you said, it was a good chance and one that we'll probably look back on and be disappointed that he's at least not made the keeper work for it.
It looked as though he was actually, he wasn't really expecting it to come to him. It looks as though he was expecting a defender to clear it, or it was somebody else who was going to get it. So he almost sort of reacted too late to it coming across to him.
Yeah, Gary's an experienced man, and you're always taught to anticipate the ball coming towards you. You know, I'm sure you were taught that at school as well. If you're in the box, you expect the ball, always anticipate it coming towards you. So he should have been expecting it and at least made a better connection and getting the ball on target.
Well, me being part of the goalkeepers union, of course, I would have come out and cleared it anyway. So it would have been all right. Gary McKenzie wouldn't have gotten a chance. But just sort of minutes later after that miss, which seems to be typical of Peter Heath's season so far, the opposition go up to the other end and score. And again, it's a goal that's come from us losing possession in midfield.
Yeah, we've done the first part of it, if I remember clearly. McCarthy, he's won the header, he's sort of intercepted it. And it's almost like he's got the ball under his feet. It's almost like he's trying to go backwards for some reason. And the player's nipped in. But again, it left us very short because I think it was at a 4-on-3 or a 3-on-3. And the ball's come across for Alston to finish. It's a good finish. Not taking that away from it. But we create our own problems again. And that was a pattern last season, which I generally thought we'd eradicated at the start of the season. I think I maybe said that in one of the recordings, that I felt we were more confident and were defence. But just a few frailties were shown again on Saturday.
It was a super finish. I mean, you'd be quite happy with that at the other end. But it was just given. Telfer was the guy who drove forward. He was given an acre of space, and then he was able to cut it back. And again, the goal scorer had acres of space to take his time. And he just, as I said, he just it was a great finish into the corner, giving Ray no chance.
You would say no chance giving you a part of the goalkeepers union, would you? Always praise the goalkeeper. Yeah, like you said, it's a good finish from all sides. I think there's much that Josh can really do about it. But again, where defence is, you know, the gaps in between, it was the same last week with Bobby Barr's header. There was quite a few. You know, there's quite a large gap between our two centre-backs and that again on Saturday, and it's maybe something that Jim needs to look at and think, well, why are they so far apart? Why are we getting caught out? But it's our mistake in midfield again. You know, it's two games in a row now. So maybe something that just need to bear in mind when we've got possession is how, you know, far apart our centre-backs, because it's cost us twice. But as you said, it's a good finish.
As we've said before as well, it would be easy for the team to start, I think, well, here we go, heads go down. But no, they dig in, they keep going. There was a couple of efforts. Boyd had a volley, which is one of those where if he maybe even mishits it, it maybe goes in, or it gives the keeper or makes the keeper work a wee bit better. But that one, his left foot volley just goes straight at the goalkeeper.
He's almost hit it too well, isn't he? Because
yeah,
as you said, it's gone right the keeper, and he's managed to palm it away. It's one of them, if he sort of mishits it, you've got a chance of ricocheting off a defender and maybe going in or testing the keeper more so than he did. But again, the striker's in the right place. And I'm sure, I think he had one half chance last week as well. But I think once he gets another goal under his belt, it might be the start of maybe his confidence rising and creating more chances.
I was just going to say, because he hasn't scored since the game against Brechin in the League Cup. I mean, his technique was was excellent. He's got his left foot over it. He's kept it down because it would be easy for him just to blaze it over the bar. But I do think he's in need of a goal. And as you say, if he gets one, you know, there might be two, three, four after that.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree. I think once he does get one, he'll go on to get maybe a couple more and just settle on doing it. It's one of them that he's a very technically gifted player, and there's that part of his game that linked up well with Armour. But I think if he got a goal and you've got the confidence that Ben's got at the moment alongside Stephen, I think that would really put us in a good position to, you know, attacking wise, and if we can improve at the back, then there's definitely some positive signs.
I think he might be one of those players that will maybe create more than he will actually score over the course of a season, which is fine, providing that whoever he's creating them for puts them in the net.
Yeah, as I mentioned, he's a technically gifted player, and you're quite happy for him to create the chances, providing someone's going to finish them off, and that's when you're looking for players, you know, Ben Armour, Lyle Cameron as well, Stephen, if he can take his own chances in the midfield, chipping in as well, McCarthy and Ferry Brown, the likes of them guys. If you're going to have a good season, you're needing them to chip in with, you know, 3, 4, 5 goals each, and then your striker, you know, I came from, we spoke to Ben earlier on in the last couple of months, he doesn't really set targets, but in the back of your head, if you're wanting a good season, you're wanting to be pushing over that 10 goals a season mark. You know, we're not expecting to win the league, but as a comfortable mid-table team, that's sort of the range I would think you'd be looking at. But if Stephen can provide them, then you're quite happy with his work rate, even if he's not scoring the goals.
One thing we picked up on last season, and one of our downfalls was when we get to places like Falkirk and Airdrie and Raith Rovers, etc., we were a habit of conceding early inside the first sort of 10-15 minutes. There's a developing pattern in the last couple of games where we're conceding just before half time, or in this case, right on half time. That to me would suggest a bit of lapse of concentration.
I was going to say complacency. It just seems to be that we think we're getting towards half time, and then, as you said, the concentration goes, or they think, oh, we'll get in at half time and regroup. Again, it's one of them things that at the moment it's not a major issue, but the more times it happens, the more concerning it gets, and then it will start to be a factor where the players will start thinking, we've got through the first half an hour, we're coming into that period where we normally concede. And as you picked up in commentary last week, Forfar could have had a second goal right in the stroke of half time through our poor defending and the concentration, the defence being all over the shop. So whilst I feel there is progression and positive things from Peterhead, there is also the flip side where things that were going okay at the start of the season are just starting to unravel a wee bit, and one of them is defensively in the concentration.
Yeah. And the goal again is another sloppy one. It should have easily been cleared or defended by Bailey. Obviously, before it gets to Bailey, the headers hasn't been won by, I think it was McKenzie. He wins the first one, he misses the second one, and Salmon's been put through. As I said, Bailey probably, again, should be looking at it and thinking he should just get his laces through it and clear it.
Yeah, I watched about a few times because I thought to myself, he's tried to make a clearance and you know, he stuck out his leg. I just wonder, hindsight's a great thing, obviously, but just wonder if he stood on his feet and made Salmon, you know, make him make the decision. Because I think Bailey sort of made it for him by going in lunging, and he could have squared it in the middle, or as he did, he put it past Josh Ray. I just wonder if he just stayed up that second more and made Salmon make the decision, it might have been a different outcome. But again, it's taken none away from a good finish, and it pains me to say because it's Conor Salmon.
That's what I said. I don't think Conor Salmon would be up there for beating anybody for pace.
No.
Or using his trickery to get by him. So, yeah, maybe again, Bailey's maybe lack of experience of the Scottish game, he would have maybe just said, well, here's Conor Salmon, let's see what he can do. But it's, again, it's one of those mistakes. And that goes in. It changes the complexion of Jim's half-time talk straight away.
Yeah, because like I said at the start of the recording, I think you never want to get beat, but I think if we'd gone in at half-time 1-0 down, given how we've fared in recent times in at Falkirk, you'd have probably been pretty pleased. because we did create one or two chances, but going down, going in at half-time 2-0 down, especially away at Falkirk, it's a massive task at 2-0 down anyway in this division, but away at Falkirk, even tougher. It's disappointing, but I think there is some positives that we can take out of it.
2-0 down at half-time obviously was going to be bad. There was chances created again second half. Cook had one, but he's missed for about 3-4 yards. It looked as though it was in, but it's somehow going wide. And at the other end, I don't think Falkirk really created too much either. Anything it was being dealt with, certainly early on in the half, Ray was equal to it and quite comfortable. And then little Lyle Cameron pops up with another great goal. If he's going to continue scoring goals like that, he's going to have quite a scrapbook at the end of his career.
The only thing I picked up in my notes from the second half Falkirk was Ray made a good save. I think it was from a corner, point blank range for the striker. And then there was one that he tipped on the bar or just over the bar. But other than that, I don't think the chances that they had, they're like half chances, are outside the box. And it's a goalkeeper in defence, you're probably pretty happy with that. But then Lyle Cameron's goal, it's a really good goal. I like the fact that the little trick that it's like a drop of the shoulder and then he's taking it back on his right foot and then put it away past the keeper. I don't know, going by the camera angle, I think it maybe takes a slight deflection. I may be doing him a disservice, I'm not 100% sure. Just seeing by the goalkeeper reaction, defender reaction, sort of most stops, or maybe a deflection. But hey, taking that away from a goal, and it got us back into the game. We just couldn't follow up with a second.
And the way Falkirk had been playing and the way that their season has kind of gone so far, you would have thought that they would have been a bit kind of twitchy about the last sort of 10-15 minutes, because they wouldn't have wanted to blow that lead.
No, being too. The teams will never admit it in public, but they'd have been looking at Pierre Eden having been beat the week beforehand at home at 4 for confidence being low. They'd have expected to come in the game winning. And the fact that it did go to 2-1, I think we had one chance and a half chance after that. So we had chances to get back into it at 2-2 and take someone away from the game. But again, it goes back to the mistakes that we've made in the first half. It's sort of been our undoing again.
Yeah. You said Brown had an effort just over the bar as well. So, I mean, it's one of those that the efforts, it was a decent effort, but it was maybe to the wrong player at the wrong time, if you know what I mean. Kind of, you would have maybe wanted it, somebody who's got maybe a natural goal scoring instinct to fire that one in for a long range.
I think we're two best chances outside the goal felt both our centre backs. And, you know, if it fell to players in the more advanced positions, you just never know. And it sort of sums up our luck a wee bit at the moment, didn't it? Two best chances we've got in the game, followed by our centre backs, aren't they naturally going to get you goals? So, I think there is positives to take from it. It was quite downbeat with the result and the performance the week before, but you know, I know it's a defeat and it's a way to Falkirk. It's probably a game we're not expected to get anything from, but I do think we can take positives going into the game next week.
I do think that Ryan Conroy had a good game. Obviously, a bit more advanced position than he has been this season, but there's a few times he seemed to get by his full back pretty easily. He picked Cook for a chance in the second half. So yeah, it's obvious that the players are up for the fight, and if we can get performances like that for Conroy on a regular basis, then you know, we should be confident that we can get out of this sooner rather than later.
I think the frustrating part is we know the performances are there, we just didn't get it on a consistent basis. And we've spoken before, Andy can beat anybody in the league, but if you can put together 3, 4, 5 victories in a row, like Montrose did last season, started off the season really poor and then went in a 7-game, 8-game winning run, you can really propel yourself up the league. And I think that's something we should be looking at. I know we're coming in a tougher run of fixtures, but there is a period in the calendar where it's on paper easier, and you've got to try and put a run together or else you will find yourself in trouble.
Yeah, so let's see what the manager had to say. Get his thoughts on how the game went, first of all.
A wee bit like last week, to be honest, where, you know, the first half we we were quite tentative, and it looked like we were waiting for Falkirk to, you know, to be superior and score goals and whatever, you know, and I thought it was like half time, 1-0, you know, we could get them in and get it sorted out, because at 10 or 15 minutes before half time, we'd get a decent foothold in the game, and then we lost a terrible goal. Both goals actually could have been avoided, which is annoying because, you know, you can work with the other team, you know, you know, stuff like that, which they did a couple of times, but, you know, when you're receiving goals, you're in mistakes. So that was frustrating, and then to lose the goal right on half time, I don't know what I mean, Everton. I kind of lost my head a wee bit, you know, and then they get the second half and they play. They're on the front foot, they're in their faces, and they made the right game, you know. So you come away thinking, you know, that's you playing against the league leaders, and we can play 45 minutes like that, you know, where, you know, they just took part in the game, and you know, got to the stage the last 10 minutes with their time wasting and stuff like that, you know. So we impose ourselves on them, and you know, it's just frustrating that we're going to do that at the start of the game, you know.
Because you said last week, after the 4-4 game, that you were frustrated with the fact that they waited until they were behind before they started playing. So it kind of sounds like it's the same thing again this past Saturday.
Aye, well, I thought, I mean, against 4-4 last week, you know, we were playing although we were behind at half-time and we weren't playing as well as I'd like, we still probably a close enough game. But Saturday, you know, we weren't really looking like, it looked like we were going it all over a wee bit, you know what I mean? So, you know, you've got to get in and, you know, and start getting in about them and shooting the ball and then doing all the things that, you know, they're not really wanting to do, but you know, it seems to be that effect sometimes is what's working with them, you know. So, I think Gary McKenzie said to me when he came off, he said, you'll need to start doing that before the game starts. So, I don't know. You know, it's hard to put a finger on it. Why, you know, especially since they've played Dundee United and St Johnstone and, you know, played well against teams like that. That's what I kind of said to them on Saturday, you know. You've played better teams and done well against them, so there's no excuse. And that's the way they played in the second half, but it was just frustrating. We had turned it in the first half, you know, that we didn't take enough responsibility with the ball, if you know what I mean. We worked hard enough, but, you know, they wouldn't get easy getting on the ball enough and doing all the stuff that they done in the second half, you know, and then with Falkirk had been very aggressive with them. So, you know, you still come away thinking, well, look, if they're the best team, you know, we've competed more than we did against them last year in the two games that we did been there, if you know what I mean. So, come away thinking, well, there's maybe a wee progression there, although I'm disappointed with the first half, the second half, you know, we've made a real game here, and come away with a wee bit of hope, you know.
Was the signal the goal right on half time again?
That was a sorry night. That was a showy, and I don't know if you've seen it, but Kyle should have cleared it, and he miskicked it, and he just slipped it in, you know. And then that was, I don't even know if the game restarted when the whistle went, you know, that's how close it was. So that was frustrating, and because I think if we get one done, you know, when we come out and play this as we did in the second half, it might have got something out of the game, you know, but it's hard to come to two done. So, you know, we just need to look at the fact that we're the top, and we've given a good account of ourselves, so we've got to take some encouragement to that. I lost Ben Arm on Friday night. He texted me to say that his hamstring had tightened up at training on Tuesday, and because training was cancelled on Thursday with the snow, we weren't kind of aware that he had a problem, you know what I mean? So, we kind of were a wee top.
Did you feel as though that you could get something out of the game, or did you feel as though that you were putting pressure on Falkirk for much of the game?
Well, when I went 2-1, you know, you can sense on the ground that, you know, there was a wee feeling that we could get something else, and it was one of these situations where even with 10 minutes to go, we put Jason up front and started to try and get the ball forward, but as much as sometimes we were trying to get it forward, we were getting caught with counter-attacks and stuff like that. That's why I took Big Gary after 2 minutes to go, because we were chasing so much, because I thought, you know, the last thing I need is him getting injured because we're short of bodies. And he's having to chase people down at the back. So, you know, just after we scored, we had another great chance to get an equaliser, and therefore you get a good tackle in just in time. It was about to pull the trigger. So, you know, we did keep some pressure on them without, you know, getting that final, you know, final good ball into the box and stuff like that. So, but it was just the way that the pleasing thing for me was just the way that we went about our business in the second half. You know, if we could do that for 90 minutes, then, you know, things will be a lot better.
How impressed were you with Josh Ray in goal?
Josh done well. I obviously seen that he got a lot of plaudits and stuff like that. You know, a couple of saves I felt were saves that came from no taking. There was a corner kick I thought he should have took, and then I stood in his line, and then he's made a wonderful save. Both of I did praise him afterwards, but I did say to him also that, you know, he should be aware of the fact that, you know, he should be coming and helping us taking the cross and stuff like that. But, you know, for such a young boy, his shot stop was really good. And I'm just really pleased with him, you know. I just think he's a very good goalkeeper for his age. And that's the first time I would say that he's been worked like that a wee bit, you know, because I say we were pushing on a wee bit. We were getting caught with stuff. And it was good to see him, you know, making the saves that he did.
And Lyle Cameron getting another goal. He's doing well for you?
Aye. I said to the players after the game, you know, when it's fine me going daft and having a go at him and stuff like that, but by the same token, I kind of put my hands up a wee bit for no start for Lyle. And I said that to the players. I've sold you short a wee bit because I felt as though, you know, we know that defensively we're going to have to do a wee bit more. I didn't take the chance of playing Lyle because obviously that's a part of his game that he's, you know, he's not particularly strong at. Rather than looking at the positive side of him, the way that he always demands to go on the ball and do something with it. And when he gets on, as soon as he gets on, he makes demands of himself that he done all the things that he done last week. Because I felt even last week, in the first half, when things weren't going particularly well, he was still, you know, he kind of plays without fear to a certain extent. And he went on and done that again on Saturday. And, you know, I'll not do that again. I felt as though, you know, we needed a wee bit stronger defensively. But in the grand scheme of things, when I analysed it, I thought, nah, I should just play him because he has enthusiasm to go and get on the ball and do something with it. As outweighs his, you know, his defensive frailties type of thing. So, no, I was pleased with him, and obviously he scores a brilliant goal. Just be stepping into the edge of the box and firing one into the top corner. And as I say, he could have scored an equaliser because we Boyd is certainly brilliant, but he just kind of eats short away in time. So, that really pleased me with Lyle for such a young boy. You know, he kind of plays the way that I'm kind of demanding that some of your boys play. You know, I'm saying at half time, you know, get on the ball and make demands of yourself, do all the things that you do in training. Don't just, you know, wait for something else to do it, you know. And then he's got the likes of Lyle going on and getting that responsibility. So, you know, I'm pleased with him. I mean, the only thing in my defence a wee bit is the fact that, like, tomorrow night, he's away playing for Dundee in a game, and we don't have him at training, you know? So, when you're trying to kind of adhere a wee bit with Saturday in mind, and he's not there, that's a kind of a downside of a lone player, if you know what I mean, where, you know, you've got to sometimes overcome these wee problems, but I think he certainly played himself into the team, that's for sure.
And on the Saturday then, how big a game does this Saturday become, given the East Fife result?
When you look at the league, I'm not just talking about the league positions, but the results in the league, just about every game is really close, you know. There's Dumbarton went and drew with Partick Thistle, and Airdrie went away and got beat with East Fife, and, you know, so it's every game you play, you know, that there's players in every team that can hurt you. So, you know, we just get into the game on Saturday and try and play for the start, you know. Just make sure that we start as we've been playing in the second half. And if we can play like that, you know, over 90 minutes, then I'm pretty sure that we'll win more games than we lose, you know.
A couple of interesting points Jim makes there. I think, first of all, he's admitted that he maybe got his selection wrong and maybe should have played Lyle Curran. As we said before, hindsight's a great thing, but given the way that he's played this season, it probably would have been a difficult decision not to play him.
I generally think he's maybe a wee bit harsh on himself. He said in the audio there that Lyle's defensive contribution is still something that he's working on. He doesn't feel it's his strongest. So I can sort of see why he hasn't played him away to league leader Falkirk. Different if it was maybe a home game, you'd maybe, you know, you weigh up the risk and reward of playing a player. But I can see why he hasn't played him. And sometimes Lyle has been better coming off the bench the last 20 minutes, players are tiring, and he's used that pace and trickery that he's got. But like we said, hindsight's a great thing, and you never know if it started with him, we might have got a positive result. But I think Jim's a wee bit harsh on himself, to be honest.
The other point that it was that I picked up on there was the fact that he, I think he said he lost the rag a little bit at half time and went on a bit of a rampage with the players. it's a side that you didn't see very often of Jim, even during the game. He doesn't sort of, he doesn't roar and shout at his players very often, but what we picked up in last week's one was that he said that they were going to start be ruthless with their team selections if you're not playing well. Just wondering, maybe there's a slight maybe change in his mentality and how he's going to approach the players and how he's going to deal with them.
Yeah, Jim said he's happy with the squad that he's got. He said that after the transfer window closed. It's his team. He's been there for a number of years now, so you know, it's almost his club. To get the best out of the players, he may be, as you said, a change of mentality. He's not the type that goes around shouting and bawling at every challenge and every part of the game. So it's maybe, to me, it's a good thing, because players will now know exactly if he's annoyed or if he's happy with their performance. And I think it is quite refreshing, because I think managers nowadays are maybe too scared to be so ruthless with their players at half-time. I think maybe some of the younger players wouldn't be used to it. You know, they've grown up with coaches now that everything seems laid back and you can't really criticise a player. But I think it's quite refreshing that he's come out and said he's got to be ruthless, he's got to make the changes if he needs it, and he's quite willing to show his emotions throughout the game and more so at half-time and full-time with his team talks.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see how they deal with that with him and Davey Nicks having a go at them as well, as rather than just one of them. We mentioned Josh Ray earlier on. He was obviously impressed with him, and I think it goes without saying that how well he did play. Just earlier on, the SPFL Team of the Week was out, and he was selected in goal, so it just shows you how well he did actually play.
I've been impressed with Josh since he came in. I don't really think he's had a bad game as such. There's been maybe blips within the game, but he overcomes it pretty quickly. He's not the sort of goalkeeper that's going to go around shouting and screaming at his defence, albeit if there's a mistake, he'll let you in. But no, he seems a very natural goalkeeper in the sense of he's comfortable with most aspects of his game, considering his age. He seems quite comfortable with it. But yeah, I think the more he plays, he's only going to get better. And I think he's been a really good addition to the squad by Jim.
Yeah, and Lyle Carmen, as you said as well, he's done really well. He's it looks like he's going to be pretty much nailed on to start yeah. next Saturday's game by the looks of it. But again, he's another one it's impressed us since he's joined.
Yeah, and you know, that was the idea of the loan coming from Dundee, that he would get game time. It's maybe Jim and Lyle maybe didn't think he would get as much as he's getting. But it's only good for his development. We spoke to Lyle a couple of weeks ago and he basically just wants to play football. And, you know, if he's getting to do that with a combination of Dundee and Peterhead, then I'm sure he'll lap up and can continue to improve.
Yeah, so on to the next game then. Saturday's visitors, is East Fife. East Fife, they've had a bit of a weird kind of a start to the season, much like and Peterhead have had. They've got 2 wins, 1 draw and 3 losses. Their win on Saturday did take them off the top, the bottom of the table and up to 7th. So again, it just shows you how close everything is. But they'd be one of that kind of sides who they might argue that they should be mid-table or fighting for one of those playoff spots, but just the start that they've had has been pretty poor by their standards.
Yeah, given how well they've done in recent seasons, they'll be disappointed with the way they've started. But psychologically, that win, as you've mentioned, takes them from bottom of the table up to 7th. That is massive. I know it's 3 points and they're only up to 7th, but it's the psychological factor that, you know, they were bottom of the table and they've now jumped, you know, 3 places. And they'll be looking at what Forfar did when they come up to Balmoor and how they got the 3 points, and I'm pretty sure East Fife, they'll be looking to do the same on Saturday. And you know, as we've mentioned before, you get a couple of wins back to back, you propel yourself up the table. So yeah, this is going to be a tricky game for Peterhead, I think.
They've maybe been slightly unlucky with the games that they've had. They've played Cove, Montrose, Falkirk, Dumbarton, Partick Thistle, and Airdrie. Now anybody could argue that could potentially be your top six at the end of the season. So they've been unlucky in that sense. I mean, Peterhead is the same. They've played 5 out of those 6. The only team who haven't played yet is Partick Thistle. So they'll be now thinking that the runner games that they've got are win games that they will think are pretty winnable.
Yeah, the league, sort of, we've seen it last season as well, before the season was curtailed, it sort of splits into a little 6 and 4. You know, the 6 that we think will be challenging, that could be in no particular order, it could be in any way. And then there's the 4 at the bottom, sort of fighting it out. That's why I think games against Forfar and East Fife are crucial for us, if we're going to have a season where we're not going to worry about relegation playoffs and looking up the table to be challenging for something. So definitely a game that I think we've got to be positive and try and get the 3 points, and like we do in any game, but more so, especially a home one against East Fife.
Yeah, and last season's results weren't great against East Fife. No. 2 losses and the 1 draw. To be honest with you, against most teams last season, that the results weren't great, but I think East Fife probably maybe over-excelled slightly last season, and they did reasonably well, but they've maybe got off to a slowish kind of start. But you know, again, psychologically, I think they would be maybe see themselves as the favourites in this one.
Yeah, I think considering we've now obviously got beat by Forfar and beat by Falkirk, they've just got their win, they're off the foot of the table. I think they would maybe be the team that, if you're the bookies, you'd maybe hit them as very slight favourites. But I think if we can get an early goal in the game, I think that could be massive, because you just hope that, you know, they've had poor results, and you just hope that if we score an early goal and they obviously they concede, then we can turn the table and just assert a bit of pressure and try and get that second. I think that was what we were guilty of in the past, especially the Dumbarton game. We got an early goal, but we didn't really capitalise and try and get a second to make it a bit easier for ourselves. So hopefully we can do that on Saturday.
The one man that we'll have to look out for is Jack Hamilton. He's got 7 goals in his 10 appearances. He's on loan from Livingston. It's one of those where if you can stop him, it looks as though you can stop East Fife, because I think the next highest scorer's got 2 or 3, and there's not many goals within that team out with Hamilton. So if we can stop him, then that's half the battle, I would think.
Yeah, I think if you can mark him out of the game and just wind him up, that, you know, frustrate him. I think that is where our best chance of getting something out of the game. But we can't be complacent with the guys that are running about him, because you focus all your attention on one player. Very easy. A prime example, you mentioned it in commentary against Forfar. The smallest guy in the park's won a header because we've been watching something else happen in the game, or Hina been speaking as a defence and being tight as a unit. So if you take your eye off the ball, you know, pardon the pun, then you will get punished for it.
Yeah, they've got other players in that squad, quite experienced players, Scott Agnew, Danny Swanson, amongst the players there. So there's a good mix, much like Peterhead, of experience and youth. Maybe more experience than Peterhead have, but certainly they know the game inside out.
Yeah, you mentioned they're experienced campaigners. They've got that in their squad. And it's something that we do need to be careful on Saturday. I think you mentioned it prior to the St Johnstone game, where we spoke about the youth and the experience. And as the second half wore on, you've seen the experience of St Johnstone coming out against our youthful Peterhead side. So hopefully we've picked up, learned a little bit from that experience and take it into the game on Saturday, which I think even at this early stage, you're sure it's becoming a must win, especially with it being a home game.
Yeah, injury, obviously, still injuries to talk about. Josh Mulligan's obviously still out. Simon Ferry's still going to be out with his ankle issues. Ben Armour might be touch and go. His hamstring, I guess they'll assess it in training this week and see how it goes. Isaac Lane could be a possibility that he's going to be back as well. So it's still not the full squad. Obviously, it won't be a full squad until Mulligan comes back. But certainly when you've got a squad of 19, 20 players, as soon as you sort of lose 4, 5 players, it does become a bit more difficult to get or change things if you think you need to change.
Yeah, you're correct. I think we have got to be careful, though, that we don't rush guys like Isaac Lane back too early. Ben Armour as well, you know, hamstrings are the bane of his life at the moment. He's always got some sort of niggle with it as well. I do think what we've mentioned before, there is players that can play in a few different positions, and if it means that you didn't risk Armour or Lane and you've got them for the week after rather than playing them and getting 20 minutes with them and then they're out for 3 weeks again. So we've got to be careful. I think there is players in the squad that can be utilised in positions rather than risking guys. But to have Ben out again, and obviously Simon's going to be out, they're players that would be sort of first in your team sheet.
It's obvious that whatever the issue is with Ben, it's come from the fact that he's bulked up so much over the summer. Whether or not this is a long-term thing, he's going to have to manage how he goes about things now, because of his extra mass and things like that. It's going to put extra strain on his body, particularly his bottom half, because the last thing he wants now is to actually tear his hamstring, because that would just put him out for 6 to 8 weeks, maybe longer.
Yeah, I've noticed it last couple of times we've been at Bangor, sorry. He, just before, after the warm-up, just before the go-in, he sort of does about 4 or 5 sprints from the edge of the box up to the halfway line. And it's almost like from not a jog, but from a stop position into a full sprint. That, you know, as you said, if there's a tear there, as you said, he's out for 6 to 8 weeks. So they need to be careful. As you said, he's putting on the muscle, and it's something new for him. So, you know, between the club and the player, that they're going to have to work out a training program that doesn't impact them too much, or else, you know, if you lose him for 6 to 8 weeks, you're really going to struggle.
he's going to end up looking like Popeye, just how long he's going to be all muscle at the top and just skinny legs at the bottom. He's going to have to make sure he doesn't forget leg day or whatever it is these gym
guys.
Yeah,
go to the gym.
call it. So we're going to have to be positive and try and get something out of this, because the next one after that is a trip to Partick Thistle. And yes, they are struggling a little bit, but you just know that we're going to go down there having thinking that, oh, they're struggling, that, and then we're going to get complacent and get absolutely hammered.
Yeah, and that's the last thing we want is complacency. We spoke about that last week before, and some of the players admitted it as well, that they felt it was maybe creeping in. I think we can get a positive result on Saturday. Having seen the way we played on Saturday's gone against Falkirk, I think there is players that were disappointed with their performance against Forfar, and Jim, by looks of it, has told them in no uncertain terms about that. I think the performance is better. We didn't get the right result, but hopefully we get a performance and a result to match on Saturday.
It would be nice to get a complete 90 minutes rather than just a 45 in the first half or a 45 in the second. Actually play for the full 90 would be good.
If Jim tells them when they're coming out that they're 1-0 down, that would be a positive start, you know, because that's the only way we seem to start playing, but it takes us to go that goal down. I don't know if it's the, you know, if it's a fear of conceding that first goal, but once that, at 0-0, the shackles seem to be on, but once we go goal down, you've got no other option but to go for it. Mm-hmm. So it would be nice to see that mentality from the word go and really attack teams.
Yep, so that's Saturday. A bit of admin for you as well. You may have noticed the game on Boxing Day, just a couple of hours before we started the recording this, is now been changed to the 22nd, which has been brought forward to the Tuesday night, 7:45 kickoff. Both clubs requested this, which, given the reasons why they've requested it, I guess is nobody can really have any complaints about it.
No, absolutely none. And actually, I think both clubs should be applauded for it, because, you know, we've mentioned so many times, and everyone's aware that 2020 has been awful for so many different reasons for so many people. And the fact that both the clubs have decided that rather than the players and the coaching staff and everyone taking away from their families and their bubbles to go to a game of football, they decide to move it to the Tuesday night. And yeah, I think both clubs should be, you know, praised for it. It probably won't get that much mention in the media because it is lower league clubs, but in my opinion, it's fantastic news to come out, and, you know, well done to both clubs.
It would be interesting as well to see if anybody else moves their games as well for the same reasons, now that they know that the Peterhead Montrose game has been moved.
Yeah, I think it would be good to see it, because traditionally everybody likes Boxing Day football, but this year we can't get to the football, so it would be nice to spend it in your bubbles with family if, you know, you're able to. You know, as much as we love football, we speak about it every week, but some things are more important, and especially this year, it would be nice if the clubs are, you know, took charge of the situation and said, well, we'd actually prefer to play it on the Tuesday or the Wednesday, to allow the players, the club, and also the supporters that can't be there to spend time with their families.
Yeah, so it's a good move for them. Clubs doing the right thing, I guess, for the fans and for their players and their staff at the right time.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, they should be praised for it. And you know, it's good to see, and hopefully it starts a chain of other teams maybe thinking and doing the same.
Yeah, I think it might do. So anyway, that'll do it for this week's episode. And my thanks goes to Martin, as always, for joining me. And we'd both like to thank you all for listening. We'll be back again next week. So we'll see you all again then. Cheers.